like I said, this you're the first basketball guy, and we're starting with the heavy hitters. For those of you who don't know, Kevin is the all-time winningest girls basketball coach in state history. That might be, I don't know, is it nationally as well? Do you know if that? Okay. Over 800 wins, though.
I'm the winningest girls coach in California, but I'm not even the winningest basketball coach on campus. Coach McKnight is the, he's got like 1,100 wins, so.
Jeez, man. There's...
Yeah, it's a humbling place. I don't get too fired up about wins.
Yeah, that's good. You're like, it's another day. We just won a game, but there's a lot of stuff to fix probably. But two national titles. I mean, the resume can go on and on. The biggest thing about your bio is that you're a rabid Celtics fan. So like we were tweeting last night, it's been a good start in the semis. How are you feeling? I see the Garnett behind you, but how are you feeling about this iteration of the Boston Celtics?
Well, I'm a true fan, so I love them, win or lose. You know, that's, I'm loyal all the way down the line. This series, though, is a matchup series. We have it's a good matchup for us. It's pretty good matchup. Toronto's a good matchup. We did well against them in the regular season too. So, you know, this isn't the deepest Celtic team, so I don't know how far we'll go. If we can get past Toronto, the next series is a tough one for us. But hey, enjoying the ride. Just glad they're playing basketball, whether it's in the bubble or not. Just, it's fun that it's back, and you know, hope everybody's safe and healthy, and just having a great time watching.
Yeah. So you know, as a girls basketball head coach, the WNBA is kind of like shifted to, I feel like, a much more like visible, you know, scene since COVID hit and whatnot. And obviously they have the bubble in Bradenton for them down in Florida. Are you like a WNBA fan? The Wobble. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The
Wobble. I have three daughters and they all play basketball. So the Wobble is fun for us too, just like the NBA. It's nice to see the WNBA, you know, get some love. You know, hopefully it gets even more support. Terrible injuries this season in the
Sabrina
streak, but yeah. We have a couple of modern day kids playing. Katie Lou Samuelson on the Dallas Wings, and Kalina Mosqueda Lewis is on the Connecticut Sun. So it's always fun, you know. And we competed. Been lucky at modern day to play a national schedule over the years, and we got to compete against a lot of the people who are in the WNBA when they're in high school. So it's a lot of fun to see kids you know and kids you played against, and you know, anytime women can get more opportunities at the professional level is a win-win for everybody, all the way down the line through, you know, high school, college, all the way. So the better WNBA does, the better it is for girls and women's basketball.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the main topics that we're going to be talking about is just how you develop players. And you obviously have a really strong track record in that. And like you were saying, you've been able to, you know, modern day in a lot of the sports there, play national schedules where you're going out of state or you're having people fly in, right, which allows you to see players who are on that fast track to being a highly developed, highly talented player. So it'd be cool to circle back and talk about that in a little bit, and just from your experience, what makes it, what are the, you know, characteristics that make up a player being able to have success, not only in high school, but at the next level as well. But you already mentioned something that I kind of wanted to start with. And I know we didn't talk about this beforehand, but a lot of coaches out there are parents. And I'm highly aware of this right now because I just became a parent. So it's like,
congratulations. You know,
right there. Thanks, man. So got a little bit of sleep last night, feeling good about myself all of a sudden because we've been struggling figuring out the sleep schedules. But yeah, a lot of coaches are dads, and like you said, you have three daughters, and being a coach is especially at your level where it is high end, top cream of the crop, takes up a lot of time. And so being a dad and being a coach, talk to me just about what your experience has been like with that. What Sure. has stood out from that time, and I guess ultimately what other listeners probably would want to garner from it is like, how do I do both well?
Right. Well, I have four kids, three daughters, one son. My son is just starting his sophomore year of college, and my daughter just played for me this past year and is going to college now. The unique thing that we have in our household that makes it probably a little easier, my wife is a coach too. She's the head coach at, head women's basketball coach at Concordia University in Irvine. And she actually gave a scholarship to my daughter. So my poor daughter is going to have to play 4 years for me and now jump into 4 years with a mother.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I don't know if that's ever been done before, to be honest.
That is insane. That's incredible.
Yeah, poor kid. Cannot get away from her parents. But, and I have a daughter in eighth grade right now and a daughter in sixth grade. So, you know, I'm right in that wheelhouse of, you know, raising the kids and watching them play and hopefully getting to coach them. You know, for me, it's been a really positive. My daughter being here at Modern Day for 4 years, was just, we drove to school together every day. We went home every night in the car, and it was a great experience. It was just, you know, something that now that she's, we just moved her into college last week. She's on campus in the dorms. Now that that's happening, you know, it was just such a special time we had for those 4 years. And I'm real so glad I had that opportunity. And to win a CIF championship last year with her on the, as a senior on the team, was a, you know, a really special moment for both of us. So those are things you can't, you know, you can't buy. Those, that the experience I had with her for 4 years are just a very lucky person. But, you know, you have to work together well within the family unit. Obviously, four kids, everybody's going every which way but loose. My wife does a really good job of getting them to their activities and making sure that they get things done. She's awesome. You know, it's just like a team effort, you know, and we're both, at least from my end, I try not to talk much about basketball when I get home, you know, because we're both basketball coaches and we both support each other, and we'll talk to each other about the problems that we're having. She'll bounce problems off of me. I'll bounce my problems off of her, so we can help each other as sounding boards that way and solution makers. But with the kids, I try to, you know, just let them enjoy the experience and not, because I have seen both sides, you know, as a coach for 35 years now, I've seen, you know, what parents can do to support their kids and what parents can do to damage their kids. Mm-hmm. And it's a fine line between being supportive and being over the top. And yeah. So I've seen a lot of both, and I respect all the parents whose kids play for me, because I know how hard it is to raise kids, and I respect that effort. But I've learned a lot, you know, being a coach, that I took into, you know, being a father, especially in that arena. I don't think I've ever said anything but thank you to my kids' coaches as they've been growing up, you know, other than thank you for working with my kid, and you know, I just stay in the background. Mm-hmm. My kids figure it out. And that's just something I've learned. I think that's a pretty good way of doing it. You know, all the coaches that they've had have been excellent. You know, obviously if there was something bad happening, you would step in, but never had to. You know, I don't worry about kids' playing time. That's something that they earn on their own. And if they have an issue with it, they can make an appointment to see their coach and talk it out. So I, you know, being a coach for a long time, you know, has really helped me, I think, in that area of, you know, raising the kids through athletics. But I'm so glad they play sports, because I believe sports helps you in so many ways, life, academics, you know, socially. I'm just really happy that they're active, they're healthy, and they're playing.
Yeah. So a lot of coaches, and again, for myself, I think, man, I really hope Easton, our son, I hope he gets involved in sports, right? I'm not going to make him play football. I'm not going to make him do sports. But naturally, if I'm totally 100% honest, it would be cool. That's something my wife and I are very passionate about. But he is his own person. So a lot of coaches, like yourself, hopeful that your kids would get involved in something that, like you said, it teaches you so many good life lessons. But you can't make them. And then I think the other thing kind of pulled out of what you said was this idea that it can't be all basketball talk around the dinner table. Like there's a balance of, hey, like here's something I saw maybe during the game, but then also like, hey, what are you and your friends doing today? You know, And that, as there's, like you said, there's this fine line where some people, and we've seen it in movies and it's been publicized, like, okay, they're over the top with this. This has become too important to them. It's become, instead of teaching life lessons, it's become life. And so that's a really, really wise thing for other coaches to recognize, is that, like, this cannot become life. It's a platform to teach life lessons with, which is so important. But I want to get to really your niche. And in addition to winning all the time, and really having the resume that we talked about at the beginning, you're passionate about player development. And so I'd love for you to share what player development means to you. Academically, strength conditioning, obviously on court skills, and then how that correlates to getting kids to the next level. Because like you said, I don't think that there is another story of a kid playing for dad at high school and playing for mom in college. That's ridiculous. But that is the goal for so many kids who honestly do come to modern day too, right? Is their goal is, I want to compete at the next level. And I think the programs at the high school in all sports are tremendous. But talk to us about player development and really what that means to you first. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was a head coach at a very young age. I was a high school head coach at a very young age. I was very fortunate. And I learned from great people who guided me to where I am today. And, you know, when I was first starting coaching a young man, it was just about, hey, being competitive, winning, getting after it, making kids, having kids play hard. You know, that was my main major concerns. You know, I wanted my kids to play hard. I wanted them to play great defense. And, you know, we wanted to be successful. And as I kind of grew, you know, and we were, and as I kind of grew and got older, and I also coached 6 years at Cypress Junior College as the head women's coach there. And I learned a lot of great things as a junior college coach. Because junior college coaches, your one job as a junior college coach is to get that kid off your campus to college. That is your only job. And I learned that, and I learned how to help kids do that. And when I came back to high school, because I loved the high school atmosphere, and I was actually, my last 2 years at Cypress College, I was actually coaching Troy High School girls basketball simultaneously, because I wanted to coach. I didn't think there was enough time in the day at Cypress. You know, the junior colleges back then, you couldn't coach in the summertime. So I just had this big gap of not coaching. I don't golf. I just work out. And I don't golf or anything like that. I want to coach. So I took the Troy High School job. And when I went back to high school after that, I told myself my main focus was going to be, I want to help kids develop. I want them to develop their skills. I want them to come into Troy or modern day or wherever I was coaching. And I want them to be better players and better people when they left. And I thought if we did that, that the winning would take care of itself. And it has. That's just a byproduct of doing the right thing and helping kids, teach kids how to work hard. But the biggest thing in helping a kid develop that way and get to the next level is competition. Kids have to be competitive and they have to seek out competition. We have kids here who are not afraid to compete. And if you are afraid of competing, it's probably not the right place for you. You know, there's lots of other places you can go and just have a nice little career and not push yourself. You know, we're going to ask you to push yourself and compete against the best players in the country and compete every day against each other in practice. We've had kids who are reserves here who never started a game here who are playing in college because they competed against each other in practice every day and they got after it every day and they developed as a player and they got better and they got a chance to move to the next level. Because like you mentioned, when the kids come to school like Troy or modern day, their goal is to get to the next, they want to go to college. I mean, 99% of our kids here at modern day go on to a four-year institution of their choice. And so they're very ambitious about that. And they are very open to, you know, being competitive, getting better, and getting to the next level. And that's pretty much, if you come at it from that point of view, I think it's much better point of view than coming at it with, hey, we got to play hard to win. We got to win, win, mm-hmm. win. I think the winning has obviously taken care of itself through the kids' player development, through seeking out the best competition you possibly can, and embracing that. And like I said, not every kid wants to compete against. They want a certain amount of playing time. They want it to be a little easier. It's just not a good place. This isn't a place like that. Everything's a competition. Every practice is a competition. Every drill we do has a score or a standard to reach, and you're competing in every drill and everything we do at practice. So it's all laid out there. And so if you're developing and you're patient, things will work out for you. If you're coming in as a young person right away wanting big things and just want it and handed to you, you're probably not going to develop into the best player you possibly can be. It might be enough. You might be that talented.
Yeah.
Some kids are that talented and they don't have to develop as much, but for the normal kid, that development will get to the next level. That embracing of the competition will get to the next level. That coachability will get you to the next level. My daughter was a really good example of a kid who she's not a tremendous athlete. She's not fast. She's got my genetics. She's not fast. She can't jump very high. But she wanted to come to Mater Dei because she wanted to compete and she wanted to play at the highest level she could play at, see if she could do it. And she figured out a way to make herself valuable. And so many kids don't do that. What does this team need? This team needs someone to be in good position defensively. This team needs leadership. This team needs someone who can make open shots. She figured out what this program needed at the time she was here, and she fulfilled those gaps. Was she the best player on the floor? No. But was she a valuable piece on the floor? Yes. She was very helpful to team chemistry, very helpful to what we wanted to accomplish. And she knew what we needed to do that. And she was introspective about that, where most kids are just, they don't really think about things like that. They just, I'm just going to come play hard, see what happens. And it's really not enough anymore just to come in and play hard. And you got to think about what you're doing, what your impact on the team is, how you can help the team, how you're developing as a player. We want our kids to think about all that stuff. And it's a lot. It's a lot on their plate. It's not an easy road. It can be frustrating because it doesn't all come to you all at once. It's something you have to see big picture wise. But it's gratifying to see kids figure it out and able to play at the next level. So my daughter's able to play at Concordia at the Division II level, and I think that's a great spot for her. Can she go to UConn? No, she can't. And she knows that. But she found out what she could do to be effective. And I think we have a lot of players. We have a girl on our team this year who's coming back, who's going to Stanford. She's already signed as a junior. She's a great player. We have a bunch of Division I players. But we also have some players who are young and developing, who are going to play at the next level too, just trying to find out what that level is and where they can go. But, the competition, the things that we're working on, will get them there if they're patient and they see the big picture. But teenagers aren't often patient and they don't often see the big picture. So it's a daily battle to get them.
Well, yeah. And I think that's the key too, is, so you talk about everyone wants to win. Everyone talks about you got to try hard. You know, we got to work hard. We got to be the hardest working team out there. And why? Because we got to win. And kind of like very simple, maybe truths, right? We all want that. You know, kids want that too.
We're all competitive. Coaches are competitive. I don't know any coach that I've ever coached against that wasn't competitive.
Yeah. So it's not a, we lost. Like, they're going to be upset. Everyone wants to win. So taking that like foundation and saying, okay, well, how do we actually win? We need to teach competitiveness. And you talked about what you do. Every drill we do, every practice we have, we're going to compete. And at Mater Dei, like you said, you're going to get girls coming there who want the challenge. They're not scared of the challenge. They don't want to be necessarily the best player on their team. They want to be on a great team, and right. They can be, they can contribute towards that. But so that, I think a lot of people understand we need to be competitive, but the issue is that they want to be competitive on Tuesday and Friday night when the game's happening. And I think what you've done is said, no, we're going to be competitive on Monday afternoon and Thursday afternoon and Saturday morning as well. And I think that's something a lot of coaches can pull out, is like, you can't teach competitiveness on game day. Competitiveness like needs to come in all, you know, times of the week, all days of the week. But right. The other thing you talked about is
competitive, and excuse me, you can't be competitive.
Oh, yeah.
You can't be a hard worker on your own terms.
Yeah.
You have to meet the standards that the program has set. If you set the standards low, you're cheating the kids. If you set the standards high, you're setting a bar where kids can work towards and get to a certain level. Some may never get there. You know, I mean, you know, we have kids who leave, who can't reach that level or can go other places and have more success because the standard's a little lower or the situation's a little better, you know, because here there are a lot of good players and you are going to run into competition for playing time. But it's not on their terms. It's the program's terms. It's the level that we're trying to get to's terms. And you've got to meet those standards.
Yeah. And so I think, and I don't know if you know a guy by the name of John Gordon. He's written a lot of books on like positivity. Yeah. A lot of people in the coaching world like him. We use him as a company. I, with our sales team, I'll reference him a lot. I read a book that he wrote called Energy Bus, which is essentially like, you have to maintain this level of energy or standard, or else like you're kind of like not on our bus, you know, like you were saying. But I want to move to this second part of development. So there's competitiveness. You need to be competitive. You have to be at our standard. This is what it's like here. This other part that you talked about, and especially with the example you gave with your daughter, is like developing the individual player, which is one part competitiveness. Then this other part of like kind of all these intangibles, like introspection, understanding who you are on the team, understanding your role and that sort of thing. I think that's something a lot of coaches need help with. How do I truly develop my players beyond just the try hard? And so I'd love for you, you gave great examples of your daughter, but I'd love for you to kind of expand on that a little bit. So that coaches out there who want to develop players and want to get their players improving and onto the next level can kind of take something and go, okay, I'm going to do that. Like, that's one thing I don't know how to do that,
right,
that Kevin is instilling in his team.
Well, and first from a basketball standpoint, I mean, it's easy to say, hey, we want you to be competitive and want you to play at the highest level, but you also have to have the basic fundamental knowledge to coexist and compete on the floor. Otherwise, you can be as competitive as you want. There has to be a certain skill level. I'm very fortunate here. I have great assistant coaches, and we spend a lot of time on basic fundamental stuff. When we put in our offense for the season, we are breaking that thing down like right now when we're allowed to go, and we'll be breaking that down till March when we play our first game. In little bits and pieces, we want to make sure every kid knows every aspect, every pass we want to make, every skill it takes to make that pass. Whatever you may think is, oh, that's not a very big deal, passing from point A to point B, it's a huge deal, you know, because if you can't pass from point A to point B, we can't get into our C, D, and F, and you know, everything breaks down. So we're teaching every fundamental aspect defensively, how to. We were a pressing kind of team. That's kind of a thing I built my philosophy on basketball, was like to press. You know, we break our press down and break down drills. We spend tons of time. So with great assistant coaches, which I'm very fortunate to have, we spend a lot of time fundamentally giving the kids the confidence and the knowledge so now they can compete. It goes hand in hand. So I don't mean to just say, hey, we just want competitive kids here and we're just
thinking. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's just not fair to the kid, because these kids have worked really hard to put themselves in a, give themselves a fundamental base and knowledge of the game. The mental part of it is so much harder. Like I had mentioned with my daughter, who figured it out, what the team needed. She also drove with me to school every day for 4 years and drove home with me every day for 4 years. And so her knowledge of what I wanted as a basketball player was so much easier for her to find out than everybody else. So how do I get that knowledge to the other kids? One is through building leadership within your team so your team sets that tone. When you have good leadership as in your team and as your different classes, freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors, they almost self-teach as the new kids come in. This is the way we want to do things. This is the way practice goes. This is the way we wear our uniform at practice. This is the way we do things pregame. That makes it a lot easier in a program to develop kids to figure out what you want them to do on the floor, how you want them to comport themselves during everything they do. Without that, and I've had teams that did not have that, it's so much more pressure on the coaches to give them everything. So that building of leadership is crucial to kind of building the level of mental awareness you have in your program. But how do you get those kids to be those leaders? How do you get them to be incoming freshmen? All of a sudden now they're senior leaders who are, you know, taking care of business and helping their teammates. That's an incredible journey that is not easy to do. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of heartache to get to that spot. We try to bring in a lot of people. Modern Day as a school spends a lot of time on leadership, developing leadership. I think you can develop and enhance the traits of leadership that the kids have, but I also think they need to be born with that kind of ability to stand out and be able to lead other kids. I don't think it's something you can totally build, but it's something you can accentuate and develop. And we try to identify those kids as soon as we can when they come in, and we try to meet with them as much as possible. We try to expose them to things like John Gordon and different books. We have a lot of leadership meetings, and you hope that's the one thing that develops. I know I can teach basketball to a player from freshman to senior, and they'll get better at basketball. But the great unknown is, how can I make this kid a great leader who gives back to her teammates and is beloved by her teammates? That's when you have a special team. But it's really hard to do. There's no clear-cut formula to follow, but it has to be something you work on every day. Every moment you're with your team is a teachable moment. Every loss, every win, every crisis, and there's always a crisis, in team sports. Everything is a learning tool. And if you look at it like that, we can grow from this. A kid who struggled as a sophomore is going to remember those struggles and be a much better leader as a senior. It's just stuff you talk about all the time. We have kids now who are seniors who, when they were freshmen, were probably not led the right way at that time by the kids we had then, who were good kids, but, didn't have the leadership skills that these kids now have. And they remembered that. And they did not repeat that behavior. They learned from it and got better and said, that's not the way I want to do things. And so that's kind of another way of developing them mentally and into better leaders. But it's not easy. And it takes a lot of time, and it's a lot of heartache, and it's a lot of one-on-one. It's a lot of meetings, and it's a lot of mentoring. But that's the fun part. It's fun to see kids get from point A to point B. And, even though it was tough getting there, it's fun to see them grow up like that.
Yeah. So assistant coaches first. Your assistant coaches. Yeah. I think that's the first part of this, right? Like as a head coach,
I don't know it all. I mean, if I come into practice every day saying I have all the answers, that's a pretty arrogant point of view for me, so I come in with the idea that I don't know it all. And I will listen to any of my coaches, and all my coaches are not yes people. They disagree with me quite a bit, but I make the final decision. I'll do all the input and make the final decision. But it's always good to have strong people that you trust and that you trust to do things. I don't need two or three assistant coaches that just sit on the sidelines watching me talk. That doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. Well, in football, you could have 20, 30 coaches, right? Like Bruce has got so many guys on his staff. And yet basketball, not nearly as many. And a lot of high school basketball coaches are probably doing a lot themselves, I would imagine, if you're a head coach.
Some are by themselves.
Yeah. So I think that's a key. It's like if you're going to lead as a head coach, you first need to – and I think about this when I was a coach. I was so focused on the kids, and if I were to be a head coach, I would have to realize I pour into my assistants first. And maybe, again, some of these high school basketball coaches, like, you need to go out there and you need to get one assistant, or you need to try your best to get two assistants, because those are two more leaders on your staff who, like in your program, are leading players. So now you have more leadership when the juniors and seniors have been built into and developed, like you're saying, to then lead the under the lower classmen. So I think it's just this trickle down effect. And one of the stages that I really do think is a gap in high school athletics is head coach to assistant coach. Even when I was an assistant coach, there wasn't, like, the head coach didn't invest a ton of time into me. It was like, go do your thing. We're running around in California trying to work day jobs sometimes and then go into practice or whatever it is. And right. So I think that's a huge, huge component of this is we need to pour into assistant coaches. And then, like you say, ultimately it's building up more and more leaders on the team so that you have a lot of people saying the same message. And that way you're rowing in the same direction, which is really cool. So last thing before we get into, I do something called the 2-minute drill. Really, ignorant basketball fans would say, all you got to watch is the last 2 minutes, which is not true. But the 2-minute drill is just kind of fun, rapid fire questions. We'll do that here in a second. Sure. So people get to know you more. This last component of taking a kid and getting them to the next level. So this maybe involves some recruiting. Maybe it involves conversations with their parents. Maybe it involves conversations with college coaches who you probably have developed a lot of relationships with schools. What about getting kids to the next level would you say is most important for other coaches to hear? How can they do this better with their teams?
Yeah. And the one thing that's forgotten is that the colleges, for the most part, do a fantastic job. If you're a good player and you're someone that their program feels they can invest in, they're going to find you, whether you're at Modern Day, whether you're high school A, club team B, they're going to find you. So right off the bat, colleges, they know what they're doing. They're very good at what they do. The second component for us is try to have a good working relationship with the club coach that your players have. Because if you're at odds with the club coach over little things, makes the recruitment process for the kid tougher. Because you and the club coach, it's nice to have two people at bat for you instead of just one talking to the coaches. Because I know I talk to a lot of college coaches for our kids and they come to a lot of our practices. But I've been coaching for a long time. I'm not naive. I know they're talking to the club coaches too, which they should be. And during the viewing periods, the colleges are able to see the club teams play on a wide basis where many colleges can come see many kids in one setting where they're going to see two or three of my kids at one time, two or three, and they have to hit the road. And so those viewing events are very important to colleges, and those viewing events are club related. So it makes sense that me and the club coaches are on the same page. There's no animosity. We work together and we're here for the kids. So that's huge. And that doesn't happen all the time. There's a lot of resentment between the both sometimes. And that's selfish of both of them because we're all supposed to be here for the kids.
Yeah.
As far as the kids and the advice I give them, I always give them, pretty much the same advice is, do your research. If you're fortunate enough to have choices, do your research where you think you fit the best. Don't go to a place because it sounds good or you're going to, it'll make a great tweet or Instagram post, go someplace where you're going to fit. If you're a kid who's really competitive and you're used to playing 32 minutes a game, don't go somewhere where you're going to sit for a couple of years. Go somewhere where you're comfortable, you love the school, it's good academics, good social, and you're going to play right away, you make a big impact. Talk to your coaches, don't be afraid to ask questions. So many times kids go on the visits or they talk to them on the phone and it's just the pleasantries and there's really no deep conversation, no hard questions being asked. You will not turn a coach off by asking tough questions. You know, that's what they're trained for. They would rather hear that. When you don't have that, that's why the transfer portal is overstuffed and full of kids who've left after 1 year, because the tough questions weren't asked. The great fit wasn't found. It was a great post. It was a great tweet, Instagram post. But now the reality is, I don't like it here. This is not fulfilling my needs. So my biggest piece of advice is always, always do the research. And I will help you do the research.
Yeah.
You know, I will help send out tape. I will help you contact coaches. I will help you ask coaches what they really feel their plans are for you if you're afraid to ask. Some kids are afraid to ask, you know, that question, what are your plans for me? How many people are you recruiting at my position?
Yeah.
The questions that kids just don't think to ask or feel uncomfortable asking. And I consider that my job, along with the club coach, to ask those questions for the kids to make sure they have a great fit. Obviously I was lucky with my daughter, it was a good fit. My wife recruited her, so it was a done deal. We didn't even consider anybody else, so that was pretty cool. But all the other kids, it's not that easy. And you know, and there's also different levels. You know, don't get fixated on, you know, one level. You know, Division II is a great level. NAIA is a great level of basketball, and they have scholarships. You know, if you're not ready yet, if you haven't stopped growing yet as both a person and physically, and you want to go to a JC for a year or two, that's an option too. I mean, we don't discount anything. Everything's on the table for every kid. And then we talk about the academic side, what you want to accomplish academically. Our kid going to Stanford is very, very smart girl. Stanford's a great fit for her academically and athletically. One of our toughest kids, great player. Just signed with UNLV, very dynamic new coach at UNLV, and I think it's going to be a great fit for her. I think she's going to make an impact right away. She's a competitive kid, and I know she's going to want to play right away. So there's so many dynamics and factors. I mean,
yeah. You
can't just do everything just one way. Every kid's different. Every situation's different. You have to approach it that way, work together as a village, family, input, club impact, my input, impact, the college's input. And I think if you're open to that and you're willing to ask the hard questions, find the right fit, I think you'll be very happy and you'll stay away from the transfer portal and have a great college career.
Yeah. Hey, that's great advice, Coach. I mean, I think that is rock solid advice and so much to take away from that. Biggest one for me is perception. Don't go somewhere because if you craft this beautiful tweet and you get all of these likes and retweets and the perception and impression from outsiders is, wow, they're amazing. And then you don't play your entire career or you're miserable there, or you end up like you're saying, you put in transfer paperwork. I mean, you have to decide what is the best situation for yourself. And like you're saying, it could be JUCO, it could be D2, it could be NAIA, or it could be, a mid-major. And it's deciding what's best for yourself, not what looks the best to others, which is very hard for 16, 17, 18-year-old, girls and guys, right? Absolutely. That's really difficult.
It's not easy. And nothing about this is easy. Nothing about the whole journey from freshman to getting to college, three-year sport, and it's any sport, not just basketball. There's nothing easy about the journey, and the more solid help you have from your coaches, counselors, parents, it just makes it easier. But there's nothing hard easy about the journey, but that should make it more worthwhile. You know, I mean, when you get through this all, you can look back and say, I accomplished something pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, and it's a big decision, like you said, and big decisions aren't easy. So you got to put in the time. So a few rapid fire questions for you. And then I did get the video. I don't know if y'all use Huddle or Crossover, but normally we just have Coach for the Chalk Talk portion share your screen. And if you want to take us through that clip or talk to us through a technique, you're a detail-oriented guy, and I think it would be cool to see some tape for a little bit after this. But we'll start with some fun stuff. Not going to be too hard for you, I don't think. First rapid-fire question. Got to go with your favorite Celtic of all time. Who is it?
Celtic of all time, Kevin McHale.
Kevin
went to the University of Minnesota, so
Golden Gopher. Yeah, I love it. Cool. Who's your favorite guy on this year's team? I saw you tweeting about Marcus Smart. You like him. Is he your guy or?
Jaylen Brown, my guy. Jaylen Brown. I heard something somebody said the other day, which was so true for Jaylen Brown. Because I have a ton of respect for Jaylen Brown. Someone so young, so smart, and so socially aware. That someone said Jaylen Brown's going to be more famous for the things he does off the basketball court before he's done than he is for the stuff that he does on the court. And he's a great player.
Yeah,
I think that's so true. I think he's going to be a leading voice in the social reform that we're going to be that we're going through now and going to continue to go through as we try to fix some of the things that are broken here. And I just have a ton of respect for someone that young, that talented, who is that aware of what's going on around him and not afraid to stand up for what he believes in.
Yeah, basketball has been at the forefront of change that's obviously very needed. And yeah, Jaylen Brown's definitely been a big voice in that community. All right, let's go to game day. So I want to know, what is like your favorite game day? You can either say it's like a ritual or just like part of the experience. Could be your lucky tie, could be a pregame meal, could just be an environment you liked playing in. What's your best game day experience or ritual?
For me, I love on game day, I love the walkthrough. The walkthrough okay. You do before the game. At some point during the day, a league game, a tournament game. Wherever we are, if we're on the road, we're on, at home, we're away, we always find somewhere where we can, some gym, some ballroom, some parking lot sometimes, where we can do a walkthrough, go through some of the things we want to just reiterate. It's like cramming for a test and just reiterate the stuff we want to accomplish in this game. And I love that stuff. I love practice. I love walkthroughs. The games for me are very stressful. I get nervous, before every game, no matter if we're supposed to win by 40 or, if it's going to be a tight game, I'm just that way. I'll know when I don't feel that way anymore, then I'll have to quit because that's kind of my barometer. I still get nervous and stuff, but the walkthroughs are nice and safe for me. I get nervous with those.
I love it. Favorite player, I know you've coached a bunch of good ones. You already mentioned a couple in WNBA, but favorite player to coach, or maybe a player that you think of as like, man, that was, I love that I got to coach her.
Oh man, that's too easy to count. the monarch I love the most was my daughter.
Yes, there you go.
She's the most loved monarch. Modern day we've had Kalina Mosqueda Lewis, Katie Samuelson, Jordan Adams, so many great, the kids on this year's team who won the title last year, Alyssa Durazo Frescas, Maya Mosa, Brooke Dimitri, Kaya, Lisa Dill. They're just such great kids. at Troy, I had 11 years at Troy. We had a great run, just like we've had here at Modern Day. Had great players there. There was one kid there who was unbelievable. Not as talented a big time player like Katie Lou or Carly Samuelson or Kalina, but we had a little point guard named Sarah Yee who went on to Columbia University to play basketball. Really smart girl. She won 4 CIF titles in 4 years as a player there. And she was just got the most out of any player I've ever coached, as far as the most out of her ability. She was 5 feet nothing, maybe even below that. But she got the most. She was a great leader. Just a real fun player to coach. I was thinking about her the other day. I like to watch old tape of modern day of Troy. And I was watching some old tape of her, and it just popped in my head. But I've had so many great kids here, and at Troy and at La Quinta, and it's too many to pick them.
That's the best part of coaching, man. All the right. Stories and that's it's good. It's good to hear all the names for sure. Yeah. Last one, and this is again kind of specific to what this means to you. So, and it's a kind of a more 30,000 foot view, but what do you think as a football guy, and there's a lot of sports out there, and we're seeing during the pandemic, some have started and some haven't, like what do you think makes basketball so special in your mind? And like, why is basketball special to you?
Oh, well, you know, I just had a love of the game since I'm very small. You know, I grew up playing baseball and basketball and, you know, every sport you could. And, you know, I was just always a sports oriented kid growing up in New York. I grew up in Long Island, New York, and then moved out to California in junior high. You know, the thing about basketball, almost all the good things in my life that I've had in my life come through basketball. So, you know, I met my wife basketball, my kids are involved in basketball, you know, my friends are involved in basketball, my job is related to basketball, you know, all the stuff that I've been able to accomplish, you know, whatever it is I've accomplished in the big picture has been through basketball. Probably a very narrow scope, you know, maybe I'm just too much basketball, but I'm very thankful to the game of basketball, because without it, I'd be just another 61-year-old guy on the side of the road. So basketball has enabled me to do some great things, and it's enabled me to help people, but it's enabled me to do some great things and do some things I love to do and meet people I love. So very fortunate.
Yeah, they say the jack of all trades and master of none. Sometimes when you do too many things and when you have too many focuses, you're not that good at any of them. And you're right. What I heard is it's here.
Yeah,
it's deep, but it runs deep in family and friends and your career. So that's cool, man. Sports are special, and it's good that they're starting to get back into it. That was really how this podcast started. Is we're like, man, we miss sports and we miss talking to coaches. That's what we do. That's what I do. And we wanted to share. There's so many amazing coaches out there. We wanted to share your stories with the rest of the coaching world who don't, especially at the high school and junior college and like you're saying, NAI, those stories aren't always shared, you know? And so as we close out, I would love for you to be able to share your screen if you have a few minutes to kind of walk us through your play or your technique. I don't know. What do you have on tap for us? What are you planning on walking us through?
I'm not a good tech guy, so I just hit share my screen here, right?
Yep. Yeah, you got it. And then it should pop up all these windows. Just as long as you keep it on the one it's selected and click share at the bottom, then you should be able to, I should be able to see your screen.
Let me see if I can pull up that. I think I lost you there for a second.
Nope, oh, that's all right.
I know I have a clip here that I wanted to show, but I don't know how I can get it on there. So I can share that. Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys see that?
Yep.
Okay. This is really a really short clip, and the reason I bring it up is it just shows you how fragile things are and how seasons can turn on a snap of a finger. We're playing a really good Rosary team here at Rosary. Rosary had a great team last year, and very well coached, really competitive, really good team. And they had beat us earlier in the year at our place. And if we don't win this game, we don't. You know, share the league championship. We probably don't get the right seating as we get into CIF. And all the things that we were able to accomplish last year as CIF champions probably don't happen if we can't get this. And I bring this clip up because a lot of coaches now, especially with the talent they have, depending what they do, like to spread the floor. And we had a very quick point guard and some really good shooters. So we love to spread the floor. But one of the things that happens when you spread the floor so much and you put the ball in one person's hands is a lot of people stand around and watch. And we're always railing against it. Don't stand around and watch. Don't give up on the play. And this is, it was either tied or we're down one. I think we were down one. And this is pretty much to win the game. And we spread the floor, and our freshman point guard, who usually makes the shot 90% of the time, missed. But that girl wasn't standing around. She kept going. She never quit on the play. She could have just watched that layup miss, but she jumped in there, put the ball in, and that saved our season right there. We don't win that game. I don't know if we accomplish everything that we wanted to accomplish this year. And it's just, just never give up on a play. You know, we didn't draw that up. That was just, just her will. And, she decided to get that done. So, pretty cool.
Competitiveness, stuff. Right?
Yes, working hard. She just did, everything's on the line. Everything's on the line. Everything for us was on the line. There would have been so much we would have lost if we had lost that game, the league title, the position we eventually had in the playoffs. And it was just a gratifying win because Rosary is really that good. And it was just gratifying to win. And it was just a byproduct of the offense we had tried to run all year. We had spread the floor a lot and did a lot of dribble drive stuff last year. But we were always guilty of kind of standing around and watching the guards. And that was the one time she did not do that at all. And it saved our season. I should show that to them all the time. See?
Well, Rosary is another, valued client of ours. And like you said, they did have a good program last year. So all this player development talk, right? Like, and we started with, you have to be competitive. And yes, we're going to teach you, the fundamentals, and we're going to build up leaders and all these intangibles to getting you to the next level. And modern day is this tremendous school where you have so many players go on to play college. And there's clearly a lot of talent. But if you don't crash the boards, like if you don't just give effort and have heart, like things that you can teach, but you can't teach, right? Like things that you're telling them, like you have to do this, but it's almost just like, that's not as technical. That is like heart. Are you going to not give up like you're saying? And that's still, that's the beauty of like, no matter how much talent that girl has, it's if she doesn't use it, if she just sits there and hopes her teammate makes the layup,
right,
then it's wasted. And the fact that she had the heart and didn't give up, I love it. It's simple, but it's massively impactful. So, well, thanks for your time, Coach. I really appreciate it. I think it's always fun for me, and I'm a big basketball fan, even though I don't know much about it. Steph Curry's my guy. I just have to give a shout out, Steph. I see you out there. I know you're listening. But no, really, really just
he really was.
No,
it's pretty cool.
hey, what's up, Steph? But we value your school so much at E-Team Sponsor, and looking forward to helping y'all out this year. And
thank you.
Who knows? Maybe I'll see you down there next week. Although I hope it cools off.
Awesome. Yeah, I might have to go to San Diego to get away.
that's gonna be a warm one. Well, thanks so much, Kevin. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Have a great time.